Final reading from our text tonight. In the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophet Isaiah, "See, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.' John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan. They were confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, 'The one who is more powerful than I is coming. He's coming after me, and I am not worthy to stoop down and untie a thong of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.'" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I have always been fascinated by John. I just think he is a man's man, a wild man, if you will. He's out there clothed in camel hair. He has a leather belt around his waist, and he's living off the land. He's eating locusts and wild honey. I mean, that's the kind of man God sends to prepare the way for Jesus, like this crazy wild guy. And I'm going to date myself here in a second. But do you ever remember, some of you may remember the commercials from years ago. There's probably it usually takes this scene in a crowded restaurant or something, and then all of a sudden E.F. Hutton begins to speak and the whole room goes quiet. And the catchphrase is, when E.F. Hutton talks, everybody listens, right? That's the kind of man John the Baptizer was. Because the text says that as he was doing this baptism, offering this baptism of repentance for the people, people were coming from all over the region. And everyone from Jerusalem was coming out to see him. So he's not just this wild, crazy guy out in the middle of the wilderness just rambling on. He's a man of I don't know, means, but persuasion, of importance, a man that had a voice in the region, a man that was respected and well thought of, to draw that kind of a crowd to come out to see what he was doing. And it always amazes me of the response of the people that are coming out. It gives me hope that there's a natural inclination in all of us that wants to live a better life. I mean, why else would you leave the comforts of home or whatever you're in the midst of to go out into the wilderness and get dirty in a stinky river, right? But there's an inclination, I believe, in all of us to want to live a better life. And John was offering the hope or the opportunity to confess whatever dirt or muck or mire that you find yourself in. Come to the river. It was a baptism of repentance, and the very word repentance literally means to do a 180. And if you think about it, it's symbolic of the baptism because you go into the river, right? And you have to turn around to come out. There's a cleansing. And in the proclamation of what John is doing, he is saying, this is just the beginning. It is something that is not going to necessarily take root, because there's one that's coming that is going to give you a greater baptism than I. And it was Jesus. And Jesus' baptism was so much more than just a turning away from the sin, but it was an entire cleansing, a gift and seal of the Holy Spirit, which meant when we're baptized in that baptism that we have the Holy Spirit that lives and reigns in our hearts. You see, the beginning of Mark's gospel is a proclamation of the good news. And the good news is the proclamation of God's action in the world, God breaking into the world through Jesus, through his life and ministry, his death and resurrection. And in those first short 8 verses, we see prophecy fulfilled. Isaiah had proclaimed or prophesied that this would happen, and Mark's drawing that out. And Jesus comes right after this setting, and he is baptized by John. And in that moment of baptism, we see in one of the only 2 places in the whole Bible where the Trinity is in one place. You have Jesus coming out of the water, the Holy Spirit descending on him like a dove, and a voice from the heavens saying, "This is my beloved Son." God breaking into the world and bringing his kingdom to us and offering each one of us the gift of eternal life through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so on the night Jesus was betrayed, we see the fruition of that work, the beginning coming to an end, but yet being the beginning. As Jesus took bread, blessed it, gave thanks, and broke it, he gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my body broken for you. Take and eat and do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup. And once again, he gave thanks and blessed it. And he said, "This is my blood poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. This is the new and everlasting covenant." Now here's where it all ties in together. John was offering a baptism of repentance, a confession of sins, being cleansed and coming out of the water. And Jesus offering a cup of salvation. No longer do you have to be cleansed by water, but you're cleansed by the blood I shed for you. And so we pray that God would pour out his Holy Spirit upon us gathered here and on these common elements of bread and fruit of the vine, that they would be for us the body and blood of Christ. That as we partake in these elements, this gift of grace, that we would become one with God and one with each other to be proclaimers of the gift of God's grace through Jesus Christ. Amen. So I see we have some confirmation students here tonight. Would any of you care to come forward and help me serve Christ? Very good. We've got two pros already. All are welcome to the table. When Jesus says, "This is my body and this is my blood broken and shed for you," he wasn't inclusive. You don't have to be a member of this church or any church to come and receive this gift of grace. As you are led, as you are comfortable, come and receive a piece of bread, hearing the words, "The body of Christ broken for you." And then simply dip it into the cup and hear the words, "The blood of Christ shed for you." Remember to give big pieces. Okay. All right. Come. The table has been set and the invitation has been extended.
Bethlehem's incarnation, Calvary's bitter cross, wrought for us salvation by your pain and loss. Now we fall before you in this holy place. Prostrate we adore you for your gift of grace.
Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, for they have hearts that can inherit the kingdom of heaven." So thank you for serving tonight. I pray that we all have that same type of heart and faith, childlike, innocent, untainted by the world, and a baptism of the Holy Spirit then can guide us and lead us to new life and live in a life of hope, knowing that the resurrection is real. May you go from this place in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit with peace, hope, and love. Amen.